Well, welcome again, everyone. Nice to see you all. So I encourage people to just scroll through on the gallery view and see all of our Sangha members who are here with us tonight from all over the country, maybe even all over the world. Tonight, it's a privilege to introduce one of our core teachers for many, many years, Stephen Tierney, as our speaker and our core teacher. Stephen is a ordained Soto Zen priest in the tradition of Suzuki Roshi, who was the founder of the San Francisco Zen Center here in the city center in the Lower Haight in San Francisco, and also the Green Gulch Farm in Marin and the Tassajara Retreat Center in the remote Santa Cruz Mountains. Stephen is a longtime practitioner and recently, last year, retired as a professor of psychology at the California Institute of Integral Studies and teaches all over, and now especially, and he's our Zoom master, so he's above and beyond the call of duty in keeping our Sangha together. So a deep appreciation, Stephen.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. To be fair, Deborah is our Zoom master. I'm just a button pusher, and she's the one that actually understands how it all works. So if anything goes right, she gets credit. If it goes wrong, that means I probably pushed a button of some kind. Tonight I want to start with just a quote from Shantideva, which says, "There is no better use of human life than to realize the unfabricated, non-conceptual freshness of our mind. This is a source of all wisdom and compassion." So, for me, I've been spending a lot of time thinking about the quality of my thinking, of my mind, about how I'm spending my time. Carl and I were talking before. I officially locked down from my jobs on March 10th, so it's officially going into our sixth month now, starting tomorrow, this being June 10th, about my energy and my output and about the time I've spent musings and ruminating, actually. And so really sort of trying to take a look at what I've been doing with all this time. You know, it's 2020 and the world is filled with uncertainty, with paradox, with fear, with pain, with joy, with inertia, and with activism and revolution. So it's an interesting time to be alive. But mostly, truth to be told, we spend a lot of time sitting at our homes and watching and reflecting occasionally. I don't know about any of you, but I have been known from time to time to cast a judgment on what's going on out there in the world. Sometimes we find meaningful ways to engage, and I have done that myself for the benefit of ourselves or for others or for the global community that we live in. Truth is, we have plenty of time right now, and we get to choose what to do with it. And as the Buddha taught, whatever you frequently think and ponder upon, that will become the inclination of your mind. And so I'm really trying to think about staying positive and so forth. I was reading a quote from the artist Paul Cézanne, who says, "Genius is the ability to renew one's emotions daily." Genius is the ability to renew one's emotions daily. So renewal seems to me as an act of creativity. It's a courageous act that we take to say, you know what, today I'm going to accept that the world is not perfect by any means, that there are things we need to be working really hard on, including ourselves and each other. And the world and our country particularly demand a lot of our attention. But I think I need more creativity in my life. And so that's something I've been contemplating a lot. We're mostly at the mercy of our minds. If you remember last month, I quoted two studies that have been done recently that said we have 60,000 thoughts a day, roughly. And we all smiled at that. It's like, no wonder we're so tired most of the time. But some of those thoughts come and go so quickly, they barely leave a smudge on who we are and what we do. Others grab us and take us away and on a journey. And the journey can be a journey of delight, or it can be a journey of worry. It can be all kinds of things. But I think, as the Buddha said, if we incline our mind towards the delight side a little bit, if we prepare our minds to know that they're creative and to really experience that with joy and willingness, I think that can be a really good thing. And so when those thoughts come up, we know we don't have to get attached to them. But if we want to go on the journey, we can. And so I think for me, it's what I've been working with is when a thought or an idea comes to my mind, is just to determine if that's a journey that I want to go on. Another quote from Shanti Davis says, "We are the authors of our own destiny, and being the authors, we are ultimately, perhaps frighteningly free." So I've been really thinking about this, and I invite all the rest of you to think about it too, is how can we bring more creativity into our lives and flourish during these times when the logical thing to do might seem other than be creative. I'm not a person who generally thinks of himself as creative. I don't play any musical instruments. If I'm being kind to all of you, I won't sing. I tried my hand at a poetry workshop. That was a big no. Turns out poetry is not just saying whatever comes to your mind. The teacher was kind enough to gently point out to me, as he suggested several other courses I might take. I've tried dance and I've tried yoga, but was very self-conscious and awkward. So how am I going to get in touch with my creative side, was the question. So I've tried to bring mindful awareness to this question in the last couple of weeks, and I invite you to do the same thing. And then I talked to my teacher and some other folks about it, and to bring some enlightened clarity to my thinking of myself at this late stage in life as not a creative person. And I noticed as I was doing that thinking, and as you may have just heard, that I made a list, and I have taken poetry classes. I've taken over the course of my life courses in tap, jazz, and modern dance. And I even tried a pottery class. The fact of the matter is I tried a lot of things, but it was my perfectionism, my worry that I had to do those things perfectly, and feeling that if I wasn't good at it, I left instantly before anyone could make a judgment about that or talk about it. So Alan Watts, the poet, says, the only way to make sense out of change in your life is to plunge into it, to move with it, and to join the dance. And so I really was caught when I read that line. It's like, I really love to dance and move, which I will not do here tonight for the same reason that I won't sing to you. However, I think it probably would be a good idea for us to have a little dance session at the end of one of our meetings. John Diodo-Laurie has a wonderful book that I'm sure some of you have seen that is called The Zen of Creativity. And it's just a delightful book, and it's very encouraging. And really suggests to us that, you know, as Suzuki Roshi, the founder of San Francisco Zen Center, frequently talked about what's enough, like to try is enough, to show up is enough, to be willing to do the work is enough. And so that's a lot of what's in that book really is written to folks who want to experience creativity. And one of the things he says is that the creative process, like a spiritual journey, is intuitive, nonlinear, and experiential. It points us towards our essential nature, which is a reflection of the boundless creativity of the universe. So all of a sudden, I had a place to start. I wasn't a creative person, but maybe I could be. So for me, I was just starting to think about my life a little bit. And you know, I realized that I work in a profession that's having just taught a course this summer in the law and ethics of psychotherapy, very regulated and has a lot of regulations and correct steps. And that's where I've chosen to live for most of my professional life. And yet at some point in the middle of all that, I came to Buddhist practice. And Buddhist practice was about taking the big risk of sitting down and allowing my mind to be free, getting in touch with my original nature and just allowing things to flow through me and into me in a completely free fashion. Being willing to take a risk, being willing to be available for new emotions and new thoughts, new ways of connecting with all of you, and new ways of experiencing a spiritual center, a connection to my original self and allowing you to all be your original selves. Now, another Suzuki, D.T. Suzuki, who was another Buddhist teacher, says, our ordinary life only touches the fringe of personality. It does not cause a commotion in the deepest parts of your soul. And so he suggests many things, including creativity and taking an opportunity to really let that side of you that is sometimes maybe buttoned down really flow freely. He says the arts of Zen, brushstroke and paintings and other things, are not intended for utilitarian purposes. They're intended to train the mind, to bring it into contact with the ultimate of reality. And so this is a really beautiful thought, this possibility that all of us, some of you may be artists by profession or by avocation, or just because you're willing to take a shot. You know, to dance with Joe Good when he does a thing for the public, which I have done, and he didn't tell me I couldn't, so it must have been okay. So, you know, some of us do those things, but Zen is the essence of really seeing ourselves outside the frame or the box, and we have this chance that Suzuki Roshi says, by making us drink right from the fountain of life. Drink right from the fountain of life. So just to really be willing to unbutton, you know, our tight thing that we're locked in, break out of our cocoon that we might be resting in, and just really say, you know what, I'm willing to give that a try. Somebody says, do you want to sing karaoke? The answer is no. But maybe, you know, what the heck, it could be fun. And probably I don't do it because I don't drink, and I understand that karaoke and drinking are things that you have to do together. But this is what I think this creativity examination of mine sort of is leading to, which is this idea of what is meant by freedom. You know, allowing all of the creativity that's inside me and that's inside of you, and the benevolent impulses that are inside of us to just burst free, to be less afraid, to be less defended, to be less concerned about who's gonna think something, who's gonna judge something. Most of us, myself, I'll speak for, have spent our whole lifetime thinking about people judging us, or what are people gonna think, or what are they gonna say, or what are they gonna make of my attempting to do any one of these number of things. And the fact of the matter is, the Irish, I can't believe I just blanked on his name, the Irish poet who said, we worry too much about what people think until we figure out what people think about us until we figure out that they're not thinking about us, that they don't. And so we spend a lot of energy trying to build our social self, our social nature, based on the reflections of others who are equally busy building their social self. And so they weren't really paying a lot of attention to us. So spontaneity and creativity allow us, I think, to really go to the most brilliant thoughts that we might have in a given day, and allowing ourselves to accept that they're brilliant, that they're creative. And then the other piece of that is to allow that brilliant thoughts often are pulled down by the next brilliant thoughts, whether they're ours or someone else's. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have them. It doesn't mean we shouldn't cherish them, take a look at them. It just means that that's the way life works. And so there are all these reasons not to be creative and not to be spontaneous and not to be delightful. And then there's, you know, the reality that we spend so much time worrying that sometimes we just don't do it. Suzuki Roshi was thinking about the teaching on renunciation, that we give things up. One of the things he encourages to give up is worrying so much about what other people think and you know, worrying about, you know, having to behave in certain ways and give up certain things. And in one of his teachings on a concept called renunciation, which we all think of as having to give things up so that we fit in and that we take our proper place, he said that renunciation is not giving up on the things of this world. It's simply accepting the fact that they all go away anyway. So I think that there are some wonderful things that we can be involved in. I recently was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, when we were children, we all had this gift of creativity and spontaneity. We forget, as we're adults, the joy of building a palace in our living room out of blankets, right? Very elaborate palaces for some of us. We forget the joy of building a rocket ship out of cardboard boxes and sitting in there. And in my case, 1 year, I actually took a rocket ship that had to be constructed out, put it over here, and built a rocket ship out of the cardboard boxes because it was just so much easier and creative at the time. We forget the fun of dancing in the rain to music that only you can hear. Or singing a concert. You can smile if you've ever done this, sing a very loud concert in your car when no one can hear. And they're just all these wonderful things that we can do. And I've recently discovered one that I want to recommend to you. And it's called ecstatic dance. Anybody heard of it? Raise your hand. It is this wonderful thing where, Richard, I was hoping you would raise your hand because it seemed like something you and I could do together. Ecstatic dance is described as a freedom movement journey held in a safe and sacred container and facilitated by a professional, a place where you can be your unique self and also connected to a common source. And the person that invited me to that, my first ecstatic dance, I said, I don't dance. I'm certainly not going to a place filled with people to dance. This was before COVID. And I just can't do that. And they said, just come, just this one time. So I went, and there's this wonderful music, and there were some lights, and there were just a room full of people being spontaneous and creative and moving in ways that only their bodies and minds and hearts told them to move. And I thought, you know what? If one was going to have a spiritual life, that's a pretty good way to have one. And that it lets out some stuff that you wouldn't normally get out if you weren't thinking about it. And so then, as I was leaving, someone gave me a poem that I want to share with you tonight. And it's by a person named Jewel Matheson. And she says, "We have come to be danced, not the nice, invisible, self-conscious shuffle, but the matted hair flying, voodoo mama, shaman shaking, ancient bones dance. The strip us from our casings, we turn our wings, sharpen our claws, and tongues dance. The shed dead cells and slip into the luminous skin of love dance. We have come. We have come to be danced, not the nice, invisible, and conscious shuffle. We have come to be danced, not to hold our breath and wallow in the shallow end of the dance floor, but the meeting of the Trinity, the body, the breath, and the beat dance. The shout hallelujah from the top of our thighs dance. Not the mother may I, yes you may, 10 giant steps dance. We have come to be danced where the kingdoms collide in a cathedral of flesh, to burn back into the light, to fly, to pray, to root in a skin sanctuary. We have come to be danced. We have come." And so I just think that as I've been sitting almost still in my chair, you know, a number of hours a day and trying to stay in good spirits, which I mostly have been able to do, and try to be connected with other human beings, including all of you, which I've mostly been able to do, I really think that I've sort of been in a lane that's pretty narrow, and it's been safe. And you know, I've been surviving the 2020 stuff, but just surviving. And so what I'm inviting myself to do, and for all of us to do, you know, we take refuge in the Buddha as the one who brought us the teachings. We take refuge in the Dharma as the teachings. And we take refuge in the Sangha as this group of people that we have to travel with. And I think that for the next month, I'm also going to take refuge in creativity. You know, it's this wonderful opportunity because we just get a chance to really let the inside stuff out that we've been worried about because of politics or because of social justice issues, both important and we should be engaged and worried about those. But that's not enough to make for me a full life, a full spiritual and human life that I want to have. So the civil rights activist Howard Thurman says, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it, because that's what the world really needs, is the people who have come alive." So my wish for all of you tonight and this month and for however long you can maintain the energy is come to be danced and do whatever it is that makes you come alive, because that's what the world really needs, is people who have come alive. Thank you. So we might have a couple minutes if anybody has a question or a thought or wants to get up and do some ecstatic dancing.
What's the name of that poem again? That was a fabulous poem. It just...
The poem is called We Have Come to Be Danced by Jewel Matheson, M-A-T-H-E-I-S-O-N, and she's brilliant.
Jill is her first name?
Jewel, J-E-W-E-L.
Okay, thank you.
And the book that I think, if you can get a hold of it, just to take a look, is called The Zen of Creativity.
Okay.
That's John, D-A-I-D-O-L-O-O-R-I, by Shambhala Publishers.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other thoughts or questions? Well, I hope you all have a chance to enjoy your brilliant, creative, spontaneous, flamboyant selves until we see you next week. Carl?
Steven, thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of food for thought. I'm ready to dance or do my art. I'm looking at my little colored pencils in the corner that have not been touched in a long time. So I think I might just grab them and bring out a coloring book this week.
Sew something, create something, mold something, whatever.
Whatever, yeah, that's great. So thank you so much. So why don't we sit together for a minute or two as we close and I'll do a little metta. So let's sit. May the merit of our practice here together be for the benefit of each and every one of us, and may that benefit spread to all beings everywhere. May all of us and all beings everywhere, even in the midst of the struggles that we now face and the difficulty, may all of us and all beings be able to be happy and find joy in our lives. And may all beings everywhere, including us and all sentient beings, may they be safe and free from danger and from harm. May all beings everywhere be healthy in body and in mind. And may all beings and each of us live with ease and well-being, and ultimately, may all beings everywhere be free. Well, Stephen, thank you again for that great talk, and thank you all for being here.